As I came across a tremendous book, I was over in the library with my wife a few weeks ago, and this is called Ordinary Heroes, a Tribute to Congressional Medal of Honor Recipients. And it tells their story. It's very, very powerful. And as I was reading through this, I came across one guy that really shows how a wife can meet his basic needs in an extreme situation. Now, this guy spent 6 years as a prisoner of war, and the family did not know if he was dead or alive. Now he's back home, and he is talking about his wife. He says, "The Vietnam War ended, and I was finally able to go home. I returned home to the person I admire the most, my wife, and of whom I am most proud. Wives always imagine the worst," he said. "She hung in there not knowing if I were dead or alive. Many marriages didn't last. Mine did, simply because of her." And it was interesting, as you go through this book, a common theme is that most of these men are very devout followers of Christ, unashamed to declare him, and very strong on the marriage, and particularly their wives. We're going to talk about the basic needs of a husband. When you get married, you need to realize that there's six people getting married, not just two. Six people. From the bride's point of view, here's who's up there. The person that she is, the person she thinks she is, and the person he thinks she is. And from the man's point of view, it's the person he is, the person he thinks he is, and the person she thinks he is. So you got six combinations whenever you form a new marriage, and no wonder it gets very confusing. When you're in a marriage where your needs aren't met, Carl Menninger says two things happen. I've added a third. But he said you either fight or you flight. And I found there's a third option. You're not fighting, you're not flying away, you're just plain frustrated. But it's always negative if your needs aren't met. A thesis, again, is in marriage we have only two options. You're a servant or you're a manipulator. Servants approach marriage saying, "My responsibility is to know my mate, meet their needs." Manipulators say, "You're here to serve me and I'm manipulating you." Manipulation leads to isolation. Servant leads to intimacy. So let's look at the basic needs of a husband. And let's read together, ladies, Colossians 3:18. "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And Ephesians 5:33 puts it this way, "Let the wife see to it she respect her husband." So here's some basic needs of a husband. Number one, he needs understanding and responsiveness. Men need to be understood. And I love that new Home Depot commercial. Have you seen that? I loved it. I saw this with my wife. I just howled. There's this guy standing there looking at these drills, and he's looked in two or three, examining them, and his wife's standing there, and she picks up a cheap one and says, "What about this?" And he says, "Sometimes I just feel you don't even know who I am." It was perfect. A man needs to be understood, too, and he needs responsiveness. Now, I ask you to do the little survey on basic needs, and how many of you guys put the sexual part in your top three? Yep. And most women don't put that in the top three, but for a guy, that's very, very important. I told you about the magazine I ran across in the barbershop where guys are thinking about this at least 720 hours in a normal year, and women, by comparison, 20 hours. I mean, it's a different ball game. So he needs responsiveness, particularly in that area. Well, let's talk about the sexual area. And we've listed for you again that chart of the difference between men and women sexually. And it's very important if a wife's going to serve her husband to realize that for him, sight is very important. And it's instant. That he is physically oriented. He becomes resentful if he's turned down regularly. Let me tell you something my wife and I learned in the first year of our marriage in a seminar, made all the difference in the world. I pass this along to women. My wife has used this beautifully. Usually, every marriage is unique, but usually it's the woman who's saying no to sexual advances. And then the guy gets his feelings hurt and you do the sulk and all of that stuff. You've all gone through that. Here's a good response. Never say no without saying yes. If you say no, I've got a headache or whatever, I've had a rough day, that's a no. Here's the yes. Tomorrow when you come home, big boy. So there's... Never say no without saying yes. That's a very good piece of advice, and it's a way to respond to him and yet be honest about where you're at. We talked about the curse on the home, the consequence of sin, Genesis 3:16. Your desire shall be for your husband. It's a tendency to manipulate, and he shall rule over you, a tendency to dominate. A man needs to be understood as a man, and a man hates to appear feminine. He wants to come across as somebody who's achiever, who is a winner, who's conquering. Men tend to put their identity with their work far more than women do. And that's why it's so important that you support him and believe in him. The spirit and ambition of a man can be very largely controlled by his wife. And she can devastate him just by cutting down what he does instead of believing in him during the hard times. Men and women are totally different. There was a special on 2020 a number of years ago where they did this long, extensive study of little girls and little boys, and they were seeing how they react to toys. And the little boys, it was consistent. They got them, they banged them, they played war with them, they were aggressive. And in the little girls, they were nurturing and caring and tender. Now, I pulled up here today, and you had a father-son event, and he got these tadpoles and tree climbers. And I thought, there it is. Here were these little guys, about 10 of them. There's a big hedge next to the building. And I looked, and there's a leg sticking out, and a guy trying to get in, and there's stuff throwing over the top, and another one, you know. And I thought, little girls would never do that. And they would be out there nurturing, and, oh, are you okay, and talking. They're different. So guys are different, and a wife needs to understand him and be responsive to his basic needs. Now, I mentioned to you that Smalley used the example of a butterfly and a buffalo. And let me read to you what he says. The best example I can think of to illustrate the differences is to compare the butterfly with a buffalo. The butterfly has a keen sensitivity. It's sensitive even to the slightest breeze. It flutters above the ground where it can get a panoramic awareness of its surroundings. It notices the beauty of even the tiniest of flowers. Because of its sensitivity, it's constantly aware of all the changes going on around it and able to react to the slightest variation in its environment. Thus, the butterfly reacts with swiftness toward anything that might hurt it. Try to catch one and net it sometime. If a tiny pebble were taped to its wing, the butterfly would be severely injured, even die. The buffalo is another story. It's rough and callous. It doesn't react to a breeze. It's not even affected by a 30-mile-an-hour wind. It just goes right on doing whatever it was doing. It's not aware of the smallest flowers, nor does it appear to be sensitive to the slight changes in the environment. Tape a pebble on a buffalo back, and it probably won't even feel it. The buffalo isn't rotten to the core just because he goes around stepping on pretty flowers. In fact, the buffalo's toughness is a tremendous asset. His strength, when harnessed, can pull a plow through a field that a man can't pull. The analogy should be obvious. Your husband's the buffalo. Don't say amen too loudly. And you're the butterfly. He may tend to plow through circumstances while you feel life and your surroundings with much more sensitivity. The pebble on the butterfly's wing may take the form of a sarcastic remark, a sharp criticism, even an indifferent attitude. Whatever it is, it can hurt and even crush you, while he may not even notice what he's done. The analogy ends in that the buffalo can never take on any of the butterfly's sensitivities, and the butterfly will never benefit from the buffalo's strength. Something to think about. Understand your man. Now, I ask you to interview your mate a few moments ago, guys, to interview your wife at the end of this. I'm going to ask you ladies to interview your husband and find out what are the unique sensitivities of your husband. He's tied to his work. He's usually achievement-oriented. Genesis talks about that. He's called to subdue and rule over the earth. The home for a man needs to be a refuge, a place where he can come home because his wife's spirit sets the atmosphere of the home and changes her husband's outlook on life. Second basic need, he needs to be respected. It's a basic need of a man. Of course, women need to be respected, but it's a stronger drive in the man. Look at Ephesians 5:33 again. Nevertheless, each individual among you see to it that he love his wife, and the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Now, what are some ways where she can show disrespect and challenge him? Let me give you three common ones. Number one, to be loyal to outside leadership over his leadership. That will devastate your husband. I know a lady in Oregon who was a devout Christian, married to an unsaved man. She got what she thought was a brilliant idea. I'll motivate him to be godly, to tell him how wonderful all these godly men are that I know. He got to where he hated godly men because she kept comparing him. And it didn't motivate, and she showed, my loyalty is to somebody other than you. A second way is an independent spirit. That just kills love. Self-sufficiency kills love. It communicates, I don't need you, I can make it without you, and it puts down a man. He feels disrespected. Another one is to resist his decisions in your spirit. That you're kind of standing up on the outside but sitting down on the inside, and you're resisting him, second-guessing everything he says, instead of having a supportive attitude. You can influence his ambitions. It's amazing what a man will accomplish if he thinks his wife believes in him. I mean, he'll go over a mountain, he'll knock down walls, but if he thinks, my wife second-guesses me, she resists me all the time, she thinks I'm a failure, you can devastate the guy. You have tremendous power in that area. Many women get historical by, you did it this and you blew it here, and you remind them over and over and over again of the history of failures. Now that shows disrespect. Another very common mistake is bad reports on your mate. Women are very relational, they get in small groups, and then they spew garbage about, my husband did this, my husband did that, and then they wonder why the husband's not comfortable coming to church, because he thinks everybody there knows what's going on with me, and it's not a good report. So it's very important to show respect by keeping your mouth shut. And if you have negative information to share, it's to somebody that's going to really help you, and somebody that needs that information, not just sympathy. Very important principle. He needs respect. It says, as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior. 1 Peter 3 talks about the power of a wife, that it's so powerful when you show respect to a husband that that can turn him toward Jesus Christ. That's the 1 Peter 3 message. Keep your mouth shut and show chaste and respectful behavior. In our home, when something goes wrong with my boys, it consumes my wife. And look, I'm concerned, but I can turn it off and I can compartmentalize. That's the boys' problems. This is this. She's not that way. It just consumes her. And so sometimes, in that kind of context, she can become accusing of her husband and start making you statements. You this or you that. Shows him disrespect, wall goes up. A much better approach is I feel statements. Because husbands love to be the rescuers. They love to be the protectors. So if your wife says, I feel, it's not threatening him and he's seeing a need he can meet. If it's you, then he feels defensive. Many times, because women are so used to dealing with their kids, if they're not careful, they can treat their husband like a child. And it'll just turn him right off, where he feels like he's being manipulated. You ever felt like that, guys? We don't like that. Respect is big on the husband's agenda. Third basic need, to accept and follow his leadership. To accept it and to follow his leadership. Over and over again, the Bible says that God made the husband the head of the home. And head does not mean Mr. Dictator, walk on water, all the right answers. It means the umbrella of protection. It means a huge responsibility. It means pace setter, provider, protector. And a wife needs to be convinced biblically that that's his God-given role. 11 times, the Bible says to the wife, submit to your husband. Remember the curse in Genesis 3. The woman's wife is to manipulate, that's her her tendency is to manipulate. God says, no, I want you to submit and follow his leadership. The only way you can do that is to trust that I'm working through him. But a basic needs, you accept and follow his leadership. Now here's five helpful things for women in this particular area. Number one, be convinced that he really is the head, that God put him there, and show him that you believe that. Now here's how it works. If you communicate to your husband, I see you holding this responsibility, it will motivate him to fulfill it. But if you're challenging it all the time, it demotivates him. Be convinced that he's in the right position. God put him there. Second, admire him on a larger basis. Sometimes, because women are very sensitive, they get their feelings hurt, they can tend to focus on the several areas where the guy's screwing up. And then that's all they see. And then they communicate that with your spirit. Do you know that 83% of our communication is spirit to spirit? And your husband can read your spirit. Have a broader perspective. We talked about Psalm 15, the 11 character qualities of a godly man. Just take your husband through that sometime and see that probably most of them he has. Focus on those. Our 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, 32 character qualities of a godly man. Try to admire him on a broader perspective. In other words, go around trying to find what he does right and give him attaboys instead of what he messes up on and you dogs. Turn it around. Third one, show enthusiasm for his achievements. Very important that you show enthusiasm for his achievements and that you're committed to helping him reach his goals. When you reject a man's achievements, he translates it as you're rejecting me. Because men get a lot of their identity out of their achievements. Number four, be alert when he talks. People used to make fun of Nancy Reagan because when her husband would talk, they would say she would have that gaze. Well, I thought it was great. She always looked at him and like, oh, that's my Ronnie. Let me tell you, he liked it. It meant the world to him. And paying attention when he talks makes all the difference. Fifthly, be loyal to him when he fails, especially when he fails. Let me tell you, being a pastor in the early years, I wanted to resign every week because I felt like a total failure most of the time. Learning how to preach and put up with boards and critical people and just felt awful. I'll tell you what got me through those years. My wife believed in me. In the early years, I would start working on my sermons for the next Sunday. And I got Saturday night panic and PMS, pre-message syndrome. I remember at 2 a.m. not having sermons done and being freaked out. And my wife would come and sit down beside me and pray with me and help me through that time. The fact that she believed in me helped me keep going. Loyal to him when he fails. I've already mentioned that Medal of Honor example of guys who are just praising their wives because they were loyal to them in very, very hard times. By the way, Proverbs 14:1, ladies, is a good verse to memorize. It says, a foolish woman tears down her house with her own hands. I've seen that so many times, that a woman gets self-centered, tries to straighten a guy out, and she tears her house down. And a better approach is, I'm here to serve you and to meet your needs. Proverbs 31:12 says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I've already mentioned to you this book, The Power of a Praying Wife. And one of the most effective things you can do is communicate to your husband, I pray for you all the time. Everything I do is smothered in prayer by my wife. I'm telling you, it means the world to me. She's away, but she's praying for me right now. And I pray for her all the time. But it communicates, she accepts and follows my leadership. Number four, continue to grow in inner and outer beauty. Husbands need that, a wife that is always growing in inner and outer beauty. Let me ask you a practical question, ladies, and you may get mad at me for this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Who do you get your hairstyle for? What you want or what he wants? Who are you trying to please? I've had a lot of women get mad at me for that, but I'm telling you, who are you trying to please? You ought to be concerned about what he likes, because your hair is for him and how you're dressing is for him. And you can dethrone a man and crush his spirit if you communicate, I don't care if you don't like it, it's the way I like it. What you've just said is, I don't give a flip what you think. I care about me. Practical things like that. That I'm growing, but I'm growing in a way that I want to please you. You're the one I'm most concerned about. I found my wife absolutely fascinating because she's always growing, always learning new things, and it captivates me. Now, Smalley says there are six character qualities that are very attractive to men, and I found this to be true. And let me give you the six, ladies, and urge you to go work on these. Number one, a calm spirit. Very appealing to a man. Number two, a gentle spirit. Women are masters at that. Compare gentle with nagging. They hate it. It talks about a nagging wife makes a man going to go live in the corner of an attic to get away from her. A gentle spirit. Unselfish love. There's been so many times when I've been harsh and selfish, and my wife's unselfish love has broken my heart and just turn me right around. It's very powerful. Persistence, that you just don't quit. I believe in this marriage. I will not quit. I believe in you. Gratitude. We're going to talk about that one. But men are very, very responsive to grateful women. And then courage. It takes a lot of courage to say, I was wrong. I messed up. Courage to break through quitting points. You need to continue to grow in every area of your life, inner and outer beauty. Physical attractiveness is very important to men, more important than to women sometimes. And men, here's a basic rule for you. Never, never, never criticize your wife's body. It'll devastate her, especially when she gets pregnant and goes through those times. But you can reverse that with men too. Fifth need, express gratitude for all he has done for you. Men are always attracted to grateful women. Now again, I'll use my wife as an example. In the first 6 years of our marriage, we lived in an $89 a month apartment that was furnished. And we were so poor, so we graduate debt-free from seminary, the first piece of furniture we ever bought was a used bed from another seminary student. Now, here's what I learned about my wife. If you had talked to her during those 6 years, she would have told you, and sincerely meant it, the best apartment on planet Earth is our apartment. I'm so thrilled with it. I'm just, oh, it's wonderful. Never one time in those 6 years did she ever make me feel you're not providing for me or this place stinks. It was like, wow. Now, I can't tell you what that did for me. I'd knock down walls for that woman. But it was the gratitude that she communicated. You don't want to make your husband a prisoner of your expectations. And that's a big one. Here's a principle to remember. Expectations destroy relationships. You come into a marriage and here are your expectations. No human being can live up to them. And then when they don't live up to them, there's disappointment. So what do you do with that? You take your expectations and you give them to God and you release them. And what you're left with is you're grateful for anything. And that really motivates a husband if you show gratitude for what he's doing for you. Sometimes, again, women are very emotionally and relationally sensitive, and they can focus on the few things the husband's not doing and nag, 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 which totally demotivates him and makes him not want to do it. Because it becomes a pride thing. He feels disrespected. On the other hand, if she focuses on what he is doing, when he does those things that he's not good at a few times, she encourages him, that motivates him a lot better. Gratitude is a very, very powerful way to minister to your husband. Now, let's take a few moments, and I'd like you to turn to your mate, ladies. And I'd like you to go through the survey, and I'd like you to identify what his top five needs are, and then go through these basic needs of a husband and interview your husband. Your objective is to find out your unique husband. What are your top needs? And just pretend you're interviewing him, take notes, and then when you're all done with the interview, I'd like you to pray for your husband and commit yourself to meeting those basic needs.